Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I pray that God is keeping you, watching over you and sustaining you and preserving you. And today we are looking at the story of Peter. And we are seeing the divine rescue by angels and where it happens that Herod now turns to attack the church and to harass the church. The Bible tells us he took James and had James killed by the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, then he stretched out his hand and struck Peter and had Peter arrested. And that's what we're going to read. And then we're going to see how the church responded to difficult circumstances and really the importance of corporate prayer and the church coming together. You know, one of the things that you'll realize that there are prayers that we make alone, there are prayers that we make, you know, with our brothers or our family members, but then there are prayers that are made as a church. And this is something that we see that bears so much witness and so much power. And this is what we see in the life of Peter. Now we're going to start, and this is where we are reading. We're reading in Hebrews chapter 12. And the Bible tells us that now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Also, now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. You know, you can think of of how certain kings are, because Herod was a king, and to him it's about pleasing the masses. He did not really care about the church. He wanted to gain favor with the Jews, and he felt the best way he could do it was to harass the church. Now, one of the things that you will see is that, and one of the things that the Bible tells us about the enemy, the Bible tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that tells us that the enemy has one purpose. He will either want to steal from you, he'll either want to kill, or he'll either want to destroy. And that is why we are told that we need to be alert always. We need to watch and pray, because we don't know if the owner of the house had known what time the thief will come, he would not have let his house be broken into. So one of the things about the enemy, and you know, constantly we'll see the scripture tell us that the Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And that is why the enemy will always target leaders. He will always target those in authority. He'll always target those who have a destiny, those who have a future that is important to God. And either at an early age, either at their point of birth, or when they're teenagers, or when they're in their prime of life, the enemy will target them and offer them. You know, what the devil does is that he will offer something that you can give in exchange for your soul. And that's why the Bible, Jesus asked that, what can a man give in exchange for your soul, for his soul? That means that we are in a trade, you know, that the enemy will always want to either offer pleasure, he will either offer money, he'll either offer immorality, he can either offer drugs, he can either offer, you know, fame. You know, people can want to give anything so that they get something. And you know, nowadays in a world of full of vanities, be it likes and be it, you know, followers and money and, you know, content and all these things, it is possible to get lost and find that we are exchanging that which is precious for the vile. And so what we see that the enemy does here is that he strikes the shepherd, and he has targeted Peter. And remember, Peter is the head of the church. And remember, he is the chief apostle, he's the head of the apostles, and he is arrested. And I believe it was just the mercy of God that he was arrested at a time when there was a festival and it made sense for Herod to bring him after the Passover. Now, that, I believe, was the mercy of God because it allowed the church the time to react. Remember when James was arrested, the Bible does not tell us whether the church prayed or not, but maybe there was not sufficient time. And we also learned yesterday that God values the death of his saints. The Bible tells us, Psalms 116 verse 15, that precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So to God, whether we live or we die as believers, it all is for his glory. And so when Herod killed James, I mean, it was well. But you see, Peter is an important pinnacle. You know, not only was James, because remember, it's Peter, James, and John. These are the three inner circle of Jesus. And so the first inner circle of Jesus is killed by the sword. And so Herod goes for Peter. But I want us to see the response of the church, because whenever the church responds as a body, and this is why we handle the issue of ecclesia. You know, when we spoke about the power of the ecclesia, we say that the ecclesia, which is the Greek word that is used for church, refers to a sacred assembly, refers to a body of believers that can make legislative laws. They can make legislative direction. They can give guidance. When the church gathers together to pray, maybe there's a person who is sick, or maybe there's a person in trouble. Maybe the church is in trouble. These are not moments for individualized prayers, but these are moments for the church to gather together as a body to pray until they receive the blessing or the word, until God releases the word from one of them and they are able to make declarations. And when they make declarations, I tell you, the power of the ecclesia, the power of the church, the power of the corporate body is able to intervene even in the most hardest of situations. And Peter was in one such kind of situation. The Bible tells us that he was arrested and he was put in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers. Can you imagine? You're guarding one old man, because Peter, the picture I have of him, he is not young at this point. Peter is old. He's this old man who, you know, he has been following Jesus. He's still energetic and he is arrested. And they put four soldiers. And the Bible verse 5 tells us, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And this is what one of the key verses, I love how King James puts it. He says, prayer was made. It's like it got to a place where they prayed until it became a making. That constant prayer was offered. That means they did not stop. They kept praying. It's like they held a night vigil. And they were like, you know what? They're going to kill him tomorrow. They have planned to kill him tomorrow, but we are not going to stop. And I don't think it was just that night. I believe it was even through the Passover, through the unleavened bread, through the Passover, they kept praying. The Bible says prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the doors were keeping the prison. Now, think of that architecture of how they are keeping this old man. The old man is asleep. His hands are tied with chains, and two soldiers, one on his right and on his left, are sleeping with him. Why? Because they are also in prison with him. How serious it was that you are in prison, but inside the prison, you have two soldiers tied with you by chains, one on the right, one on the left. Then there's soldiers at the gate. And then not only that, you'll also see there was also another set of soldiers, a second post of guards outside. That tells you Herod was very determined to kill Peter. He is determined to kill the head of the church. And this tells you that the enemy can go to serious lengths to ensure that you are destroyed. He can go to mudsling you. He can change your name. He can, you know, plan accidents. He can do so much to destroy the plan of God. But what they don't know is that God is superior. And when the believers gather together as an ecclesia, as a community, as an assembly that can make legislation, that can make laws, then God is able to intervene and send angelic help and divine help to the church. Now, the Bible tells us, verse 7, "Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Now, when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they say to her, You are besides yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, It is his angel. Verse 16, Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now, verse 18, just to conclude that part, it says, Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now, just take your mind. It's at night. It's about, you know, I mean, he is sleeping between the soldiers. He is either undressed or, you know, with minimal dressing. And then the angel taps him. Hey, arise, Peter. Quickly, wake up. He gets up. He's told, put on your clothes, tie yourself up. He's told, tie your shoes. He ties his shoes. He's told, put on your garment. We are going. Follow me. And Peter is like, oh yeah, maybe it is a dream. You know, when there are times that you dreams can be so real that you wake up and you're like, oh, I thought that was real. You know, and times that God does that, but there are times when it is a reality. And this was one such case. The response that God gave to the prayer was that he sent the angel to intervene. You know, one of the verses that we see is that the Bible says he makes his angels winds or spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That means that God has commanded. God, you know, how God sends help for us is a spiritual help. Now, it comes on the earth and manifests in the physical, you know. So the angel came, sends the help, and he tells him, follow me. And then now he starts to walk. They walk through the prison gate. The prison gate opens on its own, closes itself back. They go. They pass the first guard. They pass the second guard. Then they go to the gate that enters the city. So my thinking is either the prison was outside the city and he was just held, you know, outside the city. But you see, they even come to the gate that leads into the city. And I'm sure there are also guards by that gate. And the Bible calls it the Iron Gate. And the Bible says the Iron Gate opens by itself. That means that it doesn't matter what level of gate is, what level of prison is, what level of chains are holding the people of God. When the church collectively meets and declares freedom and prays together, God is able to intervene. And this is why I always encourage, yes, you can pray alone, but if there are people that are praying together, make an effort to be with them. Why? Because there's a power in corporate prayer. There's a power in the body. Even Jesus himself said that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am right there in their midst. That means he just comes in that moment and he listens and he intervenes and he's glorified. Why? Because two or three are gathered in his name. So, Peter is led, and then now the angel leaves him when he's in the city. And then now Peter starts to consider. And I love how the Bible tells us when he considered this, when he contemplated. You know, it's like he came to an understanding, oh, I'm actually not in a dream. I'm actually rescued. So he decides to go, oh, okay, let me go to the house of Mary. And he goes to the house of Mary, and this is the mother of John, whose surname is Mark. Remember John Mark? Is the one that, you know, Barnabas and Saul worked with. And Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. So he goes to the house and there he knocks on the door. Now inside, the believers are praying. They are praying for him. And I think the church was not as small as, you know, as the house of John Mark to fit there. Remember, by this time there were house churches in many places. And some were scattered, yes. But that tells us that in every home, they were praying. And so when he goes to this home, he finds the believers praying. And then I love this girl. She goes, her name is Rhoda. She goes to open the door. But then when she hears the voice, she does not even open the door. She does not even peep to see that it is Peter. She just hears the voice of Peter. And look at the faith. She runs back and tells them, guys, church, Peter is at the door. They told her, you are mad. You're beside yourself. And that's how faith is. Faith is madness. Faith is a form of madness. You see, these people who are praying, yes, they believed in the power of prayer, but they were not ready to receive their answer. And that's why I say that whenever we pray, let us always know that God is willing to answer. The Bible tells us that it is, fear not, little flock, because it is your Father's will. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's a version that says that it is your Father's good pleasure to share with you his kingdom. That means that God desires to answer us. God desires to give us breakthroughs. God desires to give us, you know, whatever it is that makes a difference for our lives. It is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so it is the pleasure of God to answer his church. And so the church are praying for Peter. They are offering the prayers, but they are still not yet ready to receive that answer. They're still not believing that, oh, it could be possible. And when the girl comes to tell him, they say, you are beside yourself. But she insists. And then when they now go and open the door, they find that it was Peter. Initially, they thought that it was his angel. You know, they think, maybe it is his ghost or his angel. But then when they open the door, they find Peter. And Peter tells them, hold on, let me tell you how the angel has come to rescue me, how God has rescued me. And this is what God is able to do. God is able and is always willing to answer us. Let us learn the power of prayer. Let us learn the power of corporate prayer. The Bible tells us in James chapter 5, is anyone of you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil, that is, apply medicine. And the prayer that is offered in faith will make the sick person well. It is a prayer that is offered in faith that makes the sick person well. There is great power in prayer. But even as we pray, let us be expectant for God to move. And when he does so, let us be ready to return all the glory to him. When such miracles happen, well, of course, the soldiers were dumbfounded. How can someone disappear just from them, from slipping in between them? Four squads, that means they were watching him round the clock. How can he pass the gates? How can he pass the guards at the gates? How can he pass the second guard? How can he pass the, you know, the iron gate that leads into the city? But you see, that is called divine angelic help. That is called divine answers from God. He does not need the explanations of man. And after that, Peter has to go to another place. Why? Because he is important to the church. And even, you know, when you think of Peter, when he's concluding his life, he's like, I know God has told me now that I'm going to put this tent aside. Now it is good for me that I constantly keep reminding you these things. He was sure that his time will come to an end, because at that time his time was not yet ended. And I mean, the man was sleeping. And I think I was, you know, when you think of that, you think that he had learned from his master. Think of Jesus. Jesus, the boat was in trouble and the man was sleeping. But that tells us that there is time to pray. There's a time to pray. There's a time to believe in God. And when things are going wrong, let us pray together. But also, if God decides to take his children home, our job is to rejoice and thank him that in that moment, he allowed us to share the time with that person. There are those that God will allow to be rescued, to come with him. There are also those who will go to be with him. All in all, God is God, and may his name be praised. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. Brother, you're welcome. God leads you. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the family and thank you for the chance that we are gathered together to listen to your word. And Father, we remember our leaders. We remember those that are unwell. We pray for every sick person, O God. That Lord, your hand and power upon them, O God. Your power, O God, that indeed you can send your angelic help to rescue, O God, to deliver, O God. I pray that, Lord, your hand is not too short to save, O God. Comfort your people, O God. Comfort your children, O God. Comfort those that are struggling. Comfort those that are in need of help, O God. Those that need your direction. Those that need your help, O God. I pray for journey masses. For those that are traveling, O God. Indeed, that, Lord, you go ahead of them, O God. Cover your people. Cover your children, watch over us, keep us, sustain us, protect us, O God. May your hand and presence be upon us, direct us, sustain us, and watch over us. We look unto you, you're a mighty God, you're a faithful God. Remember your people, O God, them that need a breakthrough in jobs, O God. The Lord, you're able to do it. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. May your name be praised and be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. And blessed day, my brother. Okay.